Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. On Thursdays, this is a throwdown, and this show is right up there with Liberty Bell Smack out of Philadelphia. They have just added Bill North to this show, along with the mortician Ray, to go along with Peggy and Eli, alongside John Guy. John, I had to say that because I had to get that out here. The people have been coming out here in droves, and I'll let you take it over, my friend.
Why, thank you very much, Mark Mancini. It's a sad night. You know, we're a hearty bunch, us podcasters, and we risk death and dismemberment every day in order to bring you these wonderful podcasts. And the rumor mill has been alive about Peggy Palmer. And, you know, as we all know, Peggy is a siren from Sarasota, Florida. And they got hit. Now, it's... she was lured onto a flight out of Florida to Martha's Vineyard. And I think I read something about that with the governor. She was promised a better podcast name and better nude beaches up there. And she was flown along with 50 Venezuelans to Martha's Vineyard, where she spent 2 days as a field worker picking cranberries with her toes. And she avoided Hurricane Ian, but her clothes, they were swept out to sea from the nude beach, and she may or may not still have her lovely room there at the Sand Dollar Motel. Eatme's proud to present a retrospective of Peg Palmer tonight. You know, we'll miss her. Anyway, I'm John Guy.
And I'm Eli Rasilvich.
I'm Bill North.
And I'm Ray, the Undertaker.
Ray, the Undertaker.
Yeah, Ray, he's a retired Undertaker. Yes, he is. And what did we once decide, Ray, that you'd witnessed like 16,000 dead bodies or something weird?
Yep. In my total career,
yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's 50.
That's, I don't know. I'm just sitting here in shock. I mean, you know, did she make it through the hurricane? Was she able to get back from Martha's Vineyard? It could be a sad, sad moment for Eat Me. Our call-in studio line number is 347-205-9631, and we do have Billy North with us tonight, the American League speedster, who led the American League on stolen bases twice, and yet he never really got the recognition. Did you, Bill?
Hey, man, that's up to you guys.
Give us a Hall of Fame vote.
Well, you know I can always say that I played center field on one of the greatest teams of all time, and I played every day. Now, that's enough for me. That's
And you've got a ring.
Yes, that goes with the territory.
But
the path to getting there was highly improbable.
Yes?
Hey, John, can I ask Billy a question?
Absolutely.
Hey, Bill, tell me the greatest part of your career, I can tell you the greatest part, the biggest thrill you ever had in your career was the first day you walked out on the field as a major league player. Is that correct?
That was quite a big time game. Yeah. I got
the feeling. The feeling to walk out on the field. Yeah.
There's a story to it. We were supposed to be at the ballpark at 10:30. I was there at 8, and Wrigley, and I walked out to center field, and I said, "Wow, this is the big league. This is all me."
Wow. Every major league player I ever met, football and baseball and hockey, they said the biggest thrill in their career, they could hit you could hit 2 grand slams in one game, but still the biggest thrill was the first day you walked out on the field.
First day, that's really true.
Yep.
And there was... It was a journey getting there, but it was an adventure after that.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. They don't give it to you, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you know, some days
I got a follow-up then. Some
days the man will eat you. Yeah.
My follow-up is your very first pro game was in Caldwell, Idaho.
That's right.
And how was that walking onto the field for the first time?
Well, when I walked out there the first time, I was naive enough to say to myself, "I'm almost in the big leagues."
almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Caldwell, Idaho.
Yeah. And J.R. Simplot, J.R. Simplot Field, and he was the potato guy in Idaho that sold French fries, frozen French fries, to McDonald's. That was He sold French fries to McDonald's and had that whole business. Yeah.
Well, when Bill said French fries, I woke up.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I'm still trying
John,
to find. Yes, sir.
I didn't eat anything weird or gross this week, but I did eat one thing for the show.
What'd you eat?
4-year expired box of Girl Scout Do-Si-Dos, and I ate those.
Oh, my God.
Just finished 3 right before the show.
Wow. Now, Bill, Eli has a strange habit. Eli is addicted to Oreos.
I am.
And what do you eat with the Oreos? You pull them apart, and what do you put on them, Eli?
Put about anything on them. I'll put bacon. I'll put cheese. I'll put eggs. I don't care. I use them just like bread.
I see you adulterate an Oreo.
I freak many a trainee out. When I'm in the car with them, they're like, "Are you going to eat that?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's why I made it."
Wow!
Have you seen the Oreo imitations? They cost less, and they're just as good. It's collide something.
Bill, I'm going to have to disagree with you. That's like scab players in the major leagues.
Uh-huh. Well, I know this. I tell you this, there aren't that many ingredients in Oreos, and it's not that hard to imitate them and put a pretty good product out there.
Bill, you're just a tad bit older, man. You remember Hydrox? They were the first Oreos.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Hydrox.
I haven't heard that since I was about 11 or 12 years old.
Good cookie, boy.
I know.
Yeah.
They work. Yeah.
This is right up John's alley. How about those deep fried Oreos?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I kicked the guy off at the state fair.
That just makes them so much better.
I had chocolate. I had them coated in chocolate and dipped in batter and fried. And I said, "Hey, is that strawberry jam?" And he goes, "Yeah." So I grabbed it and started squirting it all over him. He goes, "Hey, that's not for the Oreos." I looked him dead in the eye and go, "Well, it's for these."
hey, John.
Yes, sir.
You know about we had this whole segment going about the hot dogs and hot dog wagons in New York?
Yes.
They got wind of it, and it's a big thing now. They revamped the whole organization in the city on the permits for hot dog wagons. They have to be inspected. They have to be periodically inspected. The water has to be checked. Somebody heard it on this show. And somebody had to report it or whatever they did, but I think we opened
up a can
of worms. Yeah,
you know, right East River now.
Yeah, well, they passed the city ordinance that they got to check the hot dog vendors. The vendors got to have a license. They have to have a food preparation certificate, and their wagons and their push carts all have to be certified by the city of New York.
So. Yep. Look what you guys have done.
Yep.
You just wrecked the whole hot dog business.
Well, they're going to put a hit out on Ray now. He's going to have to
That's right,
him.
Yeah.
I know that,
pretty much.
Hey, John, one of our callers, Albert from Poway, California, said if Peggy's still hiding at the nude resort, he can go pick her up after the show.
Oh, there you know what we could do? We could do an old time kind of thing where everybody puts their hands on the radio or
yeah,
what have you, and we can try to bring Peggy back.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a psychic. I was the first minor league baseball club ever to have a psychic on the staff, and he predicted the final score before the first pitch of every game. And you
and
know,
how often was he right?
Yeah, was any good?
No, but that didn't matter. I got national publicity for having a psychic on our squad.
You're a real American. Good or not,
yeah,
you got publicity.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all about the publicity. So why don't we get all of our four listeners and have them put their hands on their Philco radios, and we're going to close our eyes and we're going to wish Peggy, you know, to return to us. Because I think, you know, she's caught up with those Venezuelans, and I hope she was treated nicely there at Martha's Vineyard.
Got a question. Is Brett Favre there?
He's buying the tickets for Peggy to get back.
Yeah. He's... Brett's got a little bit of difficulties legally, I think, coming his way.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Peggy. Peggy.
I'm coming back here.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. We have conjured Peggy Palmer back.
Were you on the other side? Did we raise you?
Yeah.
She was like in that TV set, you know?
Yeah. Like
what was that
guy?
Girl's name?
Yeah, it was in Poltergeist.
Yeah, Peggy, Poltergeist. That's right.
I want to ask you, Peggy. Was everybody naked?
Peggy, the rumors of your demise have been greatly exaggerated.
That's right. That's right. When are you planning on going back?
Actually, next Monday, if I can swim that fast.
My.
Hopefully
that single room at the Sand Dollar Motel is still available for you.
I don't know. There's been so much flooding and stuff. I hope it's still there, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Don't you have a cat there?
Yeah.
Cat doing okay?
Can't swim?
These are American cats, but they didn't have to go to Venezuela with me, and the governor just wanted me to go with Venezuelans, I guess.
Oh.
It was an adventure, I tell you.
You got hoodwinked. Bill, you and I were talking before the show, you started off in Caldwell, Idaho, which is known for absolutely nothing that I can figure out. But you played with one of my all-time favorite players Caldwell team. Lowell Shepley. I wonder where he's still alive, I think.
Yes, he is. He's in Macon, Georgia. He's a financial advisor. And
we've got to get Lowell.
He had 382.
382. He made Bill North look like a rookie. I'm telling you, hit 382.
Well, I mean, it was the rookie league.
That's true.
Yeah, he only batted 67 times and got 21 hits.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Cubs cut him the following year.
Well, they might have called him up from Caldwell to at least Aval.
Yeah.
And then he went to DeLand. Is that the name of the place?
Yeah, DeLand, Florida.
And there you go.
Uh-huh.
And then he decided to go make some money, being a financial advisor.
And that brings up a question, Bill. What kind of pay did people get in Caldwell, Idaho?
My first contract was $700 a month. No, that's A-ball. It was $500 a month. That was... $500 a month. Yeah. Plus meal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Damn, I couldn't eat on that.
Come on.
Well, did you get all the French fries you could eat?
That was back in the day when you were riding the buses and you stopped at the truck stop on the road and you go in there and they had wonderful prices, except for that roach crawling out from under my lettuce.
Well, Eli played semi-pro football for about three quarters of his life, and he can tell you some road horror stories. We cleared out a buffet, didn't we, one time?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think we shut the buffet down near Gary, Indiana, or something.
Some of those guys.
Yeah.
We're about to break a
record.
Who alone
could shut one down?
392 listeners. 392.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, 392 wrong numbers.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I didn't know there were. Yeah. Hey, number is an old pizza. This number is an old pizzeria.
You know, Bill.
Already. You're bad.
My favorite thing in the world is eating. That's why. Eat me. Well, my probably my second favorite thing in the world is attractive women. Donnie from Massachusetts wants to know, Bill, top five cities for good-looking women in Major League Baseball.
Ooh.
They have to be all California cities.
Well, now.
Montreal's pretty good. Was pretty good. Toronto. But there was a thing that if you couldn't have fun in San Diego, you couldn't have fun nowhere. Okay.
Ooh.
That was, yeah. California. They got the California sun. And they look so healthy. Arizona.
Yeah, it's true.
Phoenix. Phoenix is a good town. I was
always
the whole town, too. So that was
always marry an ugly woman. This way, when she leaves you, you'll be happy.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you're
ugly
starting
is,
to tire.
Ugly is as ugly does.
Three.
We're starting to sound like Moneyball. Now, we don't want to sign him because he's got an ugly girlfriend.
You know what? I like you guys. This is fun.
Well, we don't operate like normal people.
That's exactly true.
We're not. I mean, you've got to remember, Bill, that Eli is a bicycle cop who's had multiple heart attacks.
Don't forget my stroke, John.
And a stroke. And he's had knee replacements, or I don't know.
Don't forget my hip, John.
Yeah, I mean, basically he's a Frankenstein kind of creation.
A bionic man.
I am.
Yeah. How fast can you ride that bicycle, Eli?
I can go fast on the bike. It's a big Trek with oversized wheels on it. You know, I'm fairly, even though I'm fit, I'm fairly heavy. I'm a skinny 240, so.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I have actually, in traffic, got a car on Lafayette Road down around Lafayette Square, John. Chased it down on the bicycle.
Really?
Our numbers are about 416.
And I was able to weave through without getting killed. Yeah, I had him stopped. What I was going to do was write him a seatbelt ticket. And he took off. He was suspended and had a warrant. So he took off, hit me with a mirror, and knocked me down. So I was determined I was going to get him.
Ooh. He is presently residing in where? Pendleton, Indiana, or Michigan City?
He's out now. A while back, but yeah, he definitely.
Yeah.
Dude, you could have got a $25 ticket. Now you're going to jail for felony.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My bike has red lights and siren, John, so it's an authorized vehicle.
Bill, we did a show about John Dillinger. You remember John Dillinger?
John Dillinger was also a baseball player.
Yeah, he was. And that's where we found out. I've got a picture of him in his ball uniform, but he was traded from the Pendleton State Reformatory in Indiana to the Michigan City, Indiana State Penitentiary because they needed a second baseman.
Yeah. Seems to me, that's a pretty good deal.
I don't know.
Wait a second, John. You went from Pendleton to Michigan City?
Yep.
Oh, he lost on that deal.
He lost on that deal. That is correct. Yeah, I've been inside Pendleton. I've never been inside Michigan City, but that was scary back in the day.
Come on, man. John was... He was big.
Yeah, his nickname was Rabbit.
Listeners, We've got Mark just asked me if Eli and Roy had some questions that listeners had had, and we're up to 416 listeners. Wow, we broke a record.
Whoa.
We're
429, baby. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I just, 429. Yeah.
429 already. Yay.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Well,
now,
I'm going to get Ron Bucks County, Pennsylvania in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He said the women in his city look like sumo wrestlers. So if y'all ladies know Ron Bucks County, it's open game.
Well, that's the one you want to marry. You want to marry those women. Yeah, you get married to them. And then when they leave here, you'll be happy.
Well, see, I went in a different direction. My third one. My first one was 5'10". Second was 5 feet. This one's kind of in the middle.
Okay, we put a picture up on our Facebook page. And I'm trying to figure out how many meetings they had to come up with to make pumpkin spice bologna at Oscar Mayer. Oscar Mayer has pumpkin spice bologna.
That's disgusting.
That is absolutely.
You know how they make it? You know how they make it? They squeeze the pumpkins till they juice it, and then they soak the bologna in the pumpkin juice. Bingo.
Well,
you know,
even
that?
Eli wouldn't put that on some Oreos.
No.
It is not Oreo worthy.
That is correct.
You wouldn't eat that? You wouldn't eat that, Eli?
Oh, I would, but I wouldn't enjoy it, Ray. It's my dare.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you would do that because I was losing faith there for a minute. You're my hero. I mean, I was losing faith.
Oh, no, somebody said, I bet you won't eat that, boy. They better get their wallet out because I'm going after it.
Thank God. Hey, Eli, would you eat the outer skin of the bologna where they don't peel back the plastic?
Yeah.
Do you eat that?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Fry. You can just put three cuts in it and fry.
You fry it and it melts right to the bologna? Oh.
Well,
life is good.
You know, with these no-stick pans, it's not a big a deal now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Just like those chemical plants in the West. John, we're all going to die, but hey, our bologna is sick.
450
I was told this is a food show, but that ain't food.
No.
Oh.
No.
Eli, it is.
Yeah.
Now, Eli likes the pickle pizza.
Oh,
didn't you?
Eli has a bucket and a shovel in his back of his van. And every time he sees roadkill in the middle of the road, he shovels it in. What are you kidding? He doesn't let anything go by.
No.
Right. People ask me all the time how I eat much and stay skinny.
Where are you?
Hey, you guys, we're up to 459 listeners, and we only have two minutes left.
How many minutes?
Two.
Oh,
no, Peggy.
Okay, well.
If Peggy
where
is the show, we
from?
Get 700 listeners.
Where are we from?
Real quick. I'm Seattle.
I'm Casa Grande, Arizona.
I'm Speedway, Indiana, about half a mile from the track, quarter mile maybe.
That figures about you.
And I'm from Staten Island, New York.
No
and
kidding.
I'm from Sarasota, Florida.
I know.
But not originally.
No, I'm
She is from the great state of Minnesota originally.
Yeah.
Well,
Bill, I'm from West Virginia, buddy.
Yeah, I'm from South Dakota.
Yeah.
South
yeah, we food. Talk we talk a lot about the food of West Virginia, Bill.
You know what? I can figure this out now because of Speedway, Indiana, and West Virginia and Staten Island. You know, when you talk about food and you're from those locations, it gives a lot of information.
Bill, next week I'll provide a list of wild animals I've eaten.
Roadkill.
How much time we got left, Miss Peggy?
It's 9:30. We have to close it out.
We got to close it out. In honor of the Caldwell Cubs of Caldwell, Idaho, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. And we'll see you next Thursday. I'm John Guy.
And I'm Eli Raselvich.
And I'm Peg Palmer.
I'm Ray the Undertaker. And I'm Ray the Undertaker.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. All right. Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Yeah. I have. This is good. I like it.
Oh, that's a sad, sad state of affairs. Oh, well.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah. Yeah, our train derails very, very quickly. We'll see everybody on next Thursday on Mancini Media. Bye-bye now.
Later, guys.